So I can welcome everyone to the blessings of Christ today. We join together in the spirit of union with one another, coming in a spirit of love, faith, hope, and communion with our Creator, that we may unite in our one highest level of unity and spread the love out to all of our diverse places and ways of living, which make life really more interesting for everyone. So we want to welcome Nancy today, who is our co-host, but also for another very special reason. Happy birthday, Nancy.
Oh, thank you. Having a great day here in Austin. Got lots of family in town, so thank you. I'm so happy to be with everybody.
Well, you are very welcome. And we're not going to say what your age is because you haven't turned 100 yet.
Right. I've got a little ways to go.
Yes, you do.
But I intend to get there. So.
Yeah, and a few more grandkids to welcome in. So.
Oh, I like that idea.
Yeah. All right, my dear. Well, let me just open this with a continuing welcome. For those of you who might have been away for a few weeks, we changed our format a little bit because, we needed to have a way of joining in our love and appreciation of Christ for what He has brought us, what He has taught us, and actually for the way most of us came together originally many years ago. You know, we are pretty soon in, actually it would be this December. Oh my goodness, I wasn't thinking. This December 5th will be the 25th anniversary of releasing Love Without End into the world. Nancy, can you believe that?
Wow,
oh
that's
goodness.
Wow, that's holy cow! 25 years, 1999, yeah. Holy cow! That's
well,
yeah.
I was thinking, well, you know, it came in the year 2000, and we're at 24 years. No, it started actually in 1999. Oh wow! And we were so pleased to release it into a world that was troubled at that time with the Y2K stress, and would we have a meltdown, and would the systems fall apart, and maybe the world even fly out of its orbit? You know, all the fears that we get in critical moments were alive and blasting. So this brought a lot of peace to a lot of people, and it helps us to realize that God's truth is always constant. It never flies off course, out of cycle, or becomes old and weary. It is eternal. And we come to celebrate even more those truths today because of all the times this book has taken us through. Good times, stressful times, losses, celebrations. You know, life goes on with all its joys, accomplishments, and occasional setbacks that we learn from, and then we move forward. Because sometimes it takes a hardship to open our ears and our eyes so that we get observant again to life. We really love being on the fast track, where we can sleep on our way to work and on our way back home and in between just do the regular stuff. But life doesn't work that way. And we have to know how to open our eyes and ears and be with one another no matter what, but with a spirit of faith, hope, and love. So, getting back to our change of format, we're doing a study time when we first open up our classes now. we're into a study time for anywhere from 15 to 20 minutes is usually about what it takes. And then we open the board for requests for blessings or comments and questions on what was shared in our study time. And we're, anything you want to bring to our meeting, our conversation, your time follows right after that. So we welcome him first, and then you follow with your questions, requests, or praise to him. And then we move into our blessing, and we really, really target getting there right at 4 o'clock. Several reasons we do that is because some people really can't spare an hour or an hour and a half on their Sunday. They have family or other obligations, or just it may be expensive to call from overseas. And so in respect of them, we like to start our blessing exactly or as close to 4 o'clock as we can. And I know that Nancy's going to be popping in and out because she's got a whole, she's practically got a tribe in her home today.
But I'm in a good quiet place, so it's all good.
And I get
to hear the joy in the background, but we'll get back to that later, no problem.
Okay, great. Well, we love you up close or at a distance, doesn't matter.
Oh, thanks.
I sent you. Yeah. All right. Well, I in our welcome to the blessing call today, as I always do it, if you scroll down to the bottom, you will see what I included for our study today. We are at this time, and we have been for the last 8 weeks, going through the blessings that Yeshua pronounced on his Sermon on the Mount. It's in the book of Matthew, and you'll have the heading on your page title in that chapter of the Bible, Sermon on the Mount. And that's actually the best way to get there. And everything he said is usually in red letters. So if you're like me, I don't count the chapters and the lines. You know, I used to, but I've read the Bible so many times, I just go for his words. And, you know, I take the easy path. And I always get more every time I read it. But we are here to receive a blessing. And therefore, I thought it would be really wise for us to study the entitled blessings we always have, whether we're asking for them or not. And some of them are a little bit challenging. We've been covering those challenges. And some of them are just sublime blessings that we cherish and look for whenever we can exemplify them or see them in the actions of others. So we are at number 8 today, and after we complete this, we'll go to another chapter of the book. Before the year is over, we will have covered the whole book, but we may not go exactly in chronological order because I'm cherry-picking the parts of the book that I think are most relevant to life as we're living it today. And so we're going to start Pathways to Success after this, because I think that's one of the things we're all looking for. You know, we're in a, at least in this country, but I think globally as well, in inflation and deep recession. And people are worried. There's conflict in the air, and we need to find that peace within ourselves, that love of life that makes us feel really good about getting up in the morning. So that's what will follow after this. But let's wrap up today. If you want to follow me, you can go to page, you could go into page 243 in Love Without End. That would be the final perfected and enduring edition of the book, the one that has a 34-page index, which is a great help to repeated study, because you know where to go back and find things that you focused on but maybe wanted to come back to after you lived a little bit. Okay, well, if you want, so you can go to Love Without End, or you can just scroll down to my invitation letter to you for today that would have landed in your inbox if you're subscribed. If you're not subscribed, I would really encourage you to, because we don't abuse the right of your subscription. You'll get one invitation a week for a blessing. And occasionally, when we're running a sale or a special event, you'll get a notice about that. But, you know, we're not like other people who just abuse your subscription and send you everything all the time. I have unsubscribed more people than I've ever subscribed to, because they have ways of transferring you to other companies too, which we don't. So I feel safe in subscribing. And if even 1 week is too much for you, you can always unsubscribe. But it makes it handy for you to keep up with the study that we're doing every week. Now, with that said, let's get on with it, okay? And we're going to bring up this eighth blessing. I will specify when we get to a quote from Yeshua or when it's just me talking. But I'm just reading straight from the book. And then I'll add my comments as I go along, because through the years, I've learned a lot about applying these and expecting them and being faithful in them and sharing them with others. So you may hear comments from me too. Here's the blessing. And it's the most difficult to swallow. I know. It was for me. And I, when he got to that point and said it, I felt it cringeworthy. Really, I did. And I thought, you got to help me on this one. I can't take this one by myself, Lord. Okay. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And this is his voice. There's a great lesson involved in this blessing. Not just for heaven, but also for earth. It is the most difficult lesson anyone will ever master. Yet in learning it, a person rises above the tyranny of hardship and experiences true liberation. This is why it is the last blessing. Well, I was glad to receive his words of assurance, because frankly, this beatitude has always frightened me a little. It made me feel that in order to go to heaven, I had to invoke suffering. Like, I had to walk into suffering, and why would I do that? We don't want to walk into it. But he didn't say that. That's not what he said. He said something else. He said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What that really means, and I'll jump ahead of everything he said because I want to give you the simple answer, is no, we're not required to walk into persecution or hardship. Of course not. We want to have a lovely, loving life that benefits ourselves and others. But hardships will happen, because that's life. Persecutions occasionally will happen, because humanity is still in a state of conflict with one another. So when you're in it, you didn't ask for it, when you're in it, the strength within you to bear forth is your love. The love that you are, and your fortitude to hold on to what you know is right. When what you know is right is tested by conflict, when your faith in God is tested by hardship, you will never be tested again. It's like getting your PhD in knowing who you are, uniting your life with the will of God. And through uniting your life with the will of God, you are in the kingdom of heaven. That's the simplicity of it. But now, I want to go on with the words that were written. I was glad to receive his words of assurance because, frankly, this beatitude has always frightened me a little. I felt comforted and humbled by his great strength and could only respond by exposing my insecurity and admitting my lack of confidence in being able to understand. Nevertheless, I wanted to hear whatever he was willing to share. So now we're returning to his voice. The power of this blessing resides in the fact that the Creator of all things is present with all things and in all things. There is no place where God is not. There is no experience in which God is not. There is no dimension of understanding or awareness where God is not. One who has known God only in a state of well-being has just known the smallest portion of the Creator. One who must place conditions on how to receive God cannot receive God. One who can only know God in blissful and abundant experiences has no power in the rest of life. What is the kingdom of heaven except the wholeness of everything? How can a person have everything when he or she is only willing to know part of God? This was the lesson presented in the book of Job, although not many people comprehend its true meaning. So then I spoke. I entered the conversation. Well, I am one of them. I not only do not understand it, I never liked it. I hadn't read the book of Job since I was in college, and honestly, I thought it was a pretty grim nightmare of one poor soul's terrible hardship on the earth. To me, it did not represent the God of love about which Jesus had spoken in the New Testament. And so I was unable to reconcile Job's painful experience with my preferred beliefs. In a comforting tone, he asked, "Would you like to read it again with me?" I readily accepted. Then he sat beside me and we read it together, he holding the Bible. As his words poured over the lines, I was amazed with the beauty I had missed before. Contained within that book of the Old Testament are some of the most exquisite passages ever written about the wonderment of the cosmos, the majesty of God, the vastness of infinity, and the omnipotent power of all that is. To summarize the story briefly, Job was a very wealthy man who was blessed with health, family, land, and position in the community. He respected the Sabbath and worshiped God. Then, for reasons known only to the Creator, Job's loyalty to God was tested. Job had been grateful for the material abundance with which he had been blessed. But the question was, would he be faithful to his Creator under conditions of extreme hardship? That was what caused my original reaction. I wanted to know what kind of insecure and cruel God would give a man everything and then take it away. Well, actually, I wasn't ready to comprehend the fullness of that powerful message. The story is much deeper than its superficial drama might suggest. What I did not understand is that God was removing Job's limited attachment and dependencies on creature comforts in order to prepare him for having everything. You see, in wealth and comfort, Job had only part of God. Job was content with his bubble and was not looking for an expanded relationship with all of creation. Therefore, he was not expecting the twist of destiny, nor was he prepared to accept it gracefully. In the beginning, he tried prayers for redemption and confessions of sin in hopes that God would forgive whatever trespasses he might have committed. Nevertheless, the problems only became worse. You see, and this is my add-on, he was not up against something karmic. What was happening to him was not because he'd been a bad person. He wasn't getting a payback. He wasn't being allowed to experience vengeance. No, he was just being allowed to experience the rest of the universe that had not been set up to be like an extended womb protecting and feeding him. Okay, now continuing. He counseled his friends, yet nothing changed. Finally, in utter dejection, Job surrendered to the omnipotence, beauty, and vastness of the universe. He began to behold in awe the wonder, the majesty of everything that is. Through those sublime realizations, he came to accept the love of God in all things. As he stopped his judgments, the dreadful conditions ended. Remember how we talked about this in the blessing number 6, the one I called the big one? Judgment was the reason we were expelled from the garden. So what about suspending our judgments and going back to the garden? That's basically what was said in that particular sentence. Through those sublime realizations, he came to accept the love of God in all things. He stopped his judgments. The dreadful conditions ended. Then miraculously, the moment he accepted everything, everything was given to him. In the English language, persecution implies an intentional harassment or punishment. In Aramaic, however, it typically meant suffering. Our Creator never afflicts or badgers his children, although it is his greatest yearning to be known by them in the fullness of existence. It is through challenge and the survival of suffering that a person grows beyond his protective bubble to experience the love of God in a greater way. In any relationship, the one who establishes conditions is the dominant party. Therefore, as long as a person refuses to accept in good faith God's power to change and expand the conditions of life, there cannot be truly a sacred relationship. God is in charge, and when he is, he changes the conditions. This is our primary call to faith. That was my add-on right there at the end. Now, continuing with what Yeshua had to say, there's a second meaning to this beatitude, which relates to the vanishing of illusion. To attain this additional blessing, you must realize that for righteousness' sake means for love's sake. Whenever you stand firmly in the midst of a hardship, holding and expressing the love that you are, you will witness illusions falling away. Through being the love that you are empowered to transcend your sufferings. Now, I have an add-on here. Love is the highest, the love that we are. I'm not talking about the love of God or the love of others, but the love we are is really the highest reality we can attain. And getting back to the beatitude itself, there are the words that say persecuted for righteousness' sake. Well, that also means holding to the truth. I think the reason he spoke of love here is because the love that we are is one truth we always get right. But as humans, we often confuse opinion with truth. We often confuse reality with truth. And so I think that's why he didn't use the word truth there, but just as surely as holding to the love that you are, holding to truth, to the degree that you have it and know it. Life is so much bigger than we are, and we don't know what path others have walked on. We don't know the explanations behind medicines that are yet to be discovered in this world, or what's going wrong when we cultivate a pathological situation in our bodies. So often we think we're upholding the truth, but we don't always get that right. And I think that's why here he just referred to love, because we do get that right. And I think that's also why he told us to love our enemies. Not that we're supposed to like our enemies. The big difference between love and like. And not because we're supposed to admire our enemies or cultivate patterned behavior like them. Love is something that holds us true to our fundamental human connection. And we can always find something common with those we love. That is the pathway to peace, is finding something, a common denominator. You gotta find something you hold in common. For one thing, life. How about that? For another, the elements that provide for life and peace. There are things we hold in common. And when we love our neighbor, we have a commandment to love our neighbors, but also we have got a suggestion to love our enemies, because we find the common denominator. Then we can negotiate. Then we can have harmony. We can find a pathway toward common ground. You can't solve a war by continuing to fight. Yes, my friends, there are times we're going to get angry. There will be times we fight, and we think we're fighting for right, but what we're doing is we're just fighting. And to keep fighting only breeds more of it. We've got to find our common ground. And when we find our common ground, then we're going to invoke blessing number 7. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be the children of God. Okay? So all of this builds in sequence. It's all here. It was all stated in the previous blessings. Even blessed are those who mourn, because you know their soul is not dead. And you discover that when you release the attachments that you had to them in the physical reality of life, and you find the greater bond, which is eternal. When you find that eternal bond, you are blessed to have back the parents, your spouse, your brothers, your sisters, your best friends, the people you have loved, adored, and admired are there with you forever. And this is really the only difference between the saints and ordinary people that die is the saints, well, it's easy to connect with them on a soul level because they didn't live much in the reality of ordinary living. Most of them lived lives of stewardship and borderline hardship, or if not abject hardship in many cases. They weren't into worldly things, so there's not much to let go of and a whole lot to find, and they're already there ready to help you. But we've got to give our in-life partners, family, best friends, a chance to get on high ground and sort it out for themselves. And while they're doing that, we do our mourning, and they're probably doing their mourning on the other side too, even though it's wonderful there. They miss you, and they're going to mourn, you're going to mourn. We're going to get rid of the worldly stuff. And then you have a soul connection that can never be broken. So it all comes right here. This is the summary of all the blessings. We feel like we're persecuted when a loved one is taken from us in an untimely manner, or even in a timely manner, because we're never ready to let go, really. We would just hang on down here forever, and that's kind of not a good thing because, you know, when they're suffering, they need to go to high ground. They need to be with God and sort it all out and then rejoin you again. So it's all here, but I should continue reading so that we can rejoin our community. And yeah, here's where we were. I was about to say this. Jesus said to me more than once, love your enemies if you would convince yourself that love is a power that comes from within. Perhaps there are no enduring enemies, but there are adversarial situations. Life has its trials, and we are passing through these difficulties. It's difficult. It's imperative to be the love that we are. In that special state of being, we gain the assurance that we are not externally controlled or dominated by the world. Returning to his words, only in the presence of your enemy can you really discover the truth. Only when you love beyond all the external conditions, which logically tell you not to do so, can you discover the deeper wellspring of love that you are. In the 23rd chapter of the book of Psalms, King David welcomes the Lord to set a table before him in the presence of his enemies, knowing that his cup will be filled to overflowing. His cup was filled with love. David knew that only the power of love could, only through the power of love could victory be attained. Through love, you have the power over any situation. Only you will never truly know this until you have surmounted adversity. The last of the Beatitudes is the greatest of all blessings, for in that learning you are free forever from the illusions that would attempt to conquer you and misdirect your life. That can be reread on page 243 through 247 of Love Without End. Chapter 9, in case you have a different edition. And with that being said, I just want to thank our Lord and our brother, Yeshua, for giving us this panorama of heaven and how to go there while still living on earth. He lived there, but he had one foot in our midst. As he said, I am on the earth, but not of the earth. He never left heaven, except on the cross. And that's where the ultimate miracle happened, so that he could invoke this blessing for everyone. Thank you, Yeshua. And with all my heart, I give you the love and wisdom herein. So let's talk about it. And let's hear your requests for blessings or your gratitude for having received them. Remember also, you can email me at askablessing@christblessing.org. So you can always reach me there to send me your requests. In fact, if you have a prayer emergency during the week, write me there. I always get your message. If I'm out driving, I'm not going to answer immediately, and then it's easy to forget, but I will go back through everything at the end of the day. And I'm there with you, and I plan to stay with you for forever, actually. Just someday it will be in a different form, but forever and ever and ever. Now, let's talk, okay? It's your
okay.
Turn.
All right, Glenda, we have Caroline here. I'm going to open her line, but I just wanted to say thank you. I was just reflecting that, gosh, I think it took 25 years, and, you know, and even reading it again, it's like it's new and different, and there's another layer for me, so... thank you for everything you gave us these past weeks. Just wonderful. And I'm going to open Caroline's line. Hi, Caroline.
Caroline, are you here? Caroline. Oh, she's got her phone muted.
Well, we'll give her a sec. She'll undo, I know.
I'm sure she will.
Well... until she does, I would like to add a blessing for her. Can you hear
Nancy?
Me, Glenda?
Yeah, let's hear your blessing.
Well, I have a dear friend, Jamie McKinney. I used to work with her at St. John Newman once upon a time in youth ministry, and she just turned 40, and she's got this big old turbo cancer thing going on with her breasts, and so she's having a double mastectomy on Wednesday. She's in total faith, feels really up and good about it all, but I told her I would definitely bring her into the circle and into our blessing.
What's her name again, honey? Nancy? Nancy? Okay. Well, she will be in our blessing today. Hi.
Oh, okay. I was getting some weird feedback, and I didn't know if I was there or not. So anyway, let me open Caroline again. Let's see if she can come through. Caroline, can you hear us? Well?
Well?
That's okay.
Caroline.
Anyone?
Yeah, anyone sorry about that. I don't know what's going on. I'm using a new headset here, so I don't know if you guys heard any of what I was saying before.
No, we did
not. Not a word.
Right, yes, and I'm sorry I wasn't here for the previous two sessions because I had family in, but I have two blessings that I would like to ask for. One is for one of our wonderful blessing givers whom I met in Texas at the seminar back in 2022, Cheryl Apple. And she's had some amazing angelic visions, sent me a text about it. I'm going to see if I can put the phone on speaker so I can read the text to you, just because I think the community would love to hear this. Hold on just a sec.
Sure.
Definitely.
You'll hear me?
We can.
Okay, so she said she said, this is Cheryl texting to me. I thought I had perceived first light in one of my meditations. It was really beautiful. And the other day I was praying for the faith of the archangels, and I received this very beautiful, concise clarity of an angel. He was in front of me, dressed in blue and white, and his wings were like shields. I wish there was a way to send that to Glenda so she could paint it. So isn't that's just absolutely gorgeous, and I wanted to share that with you. And also, she has some health problems of her own, a potential heart problem, and she also has tremendous family problems. She's staying with her dad and her sister, and the dad does have an alcohol problem and all kinds of things. So she's busy giving service to her family, but she would love a blessing for the psychology of her family to be healed, free from fear, anger, and bitterness, and realize Yeshua's and God's mercy, beauty, and compassion. And she says that would be an awesome triumph. So that's the first blessing, the main blessing I would like to ask for today. And there's another person in trouble that I would like to ask for a blessing. But I'm sure you remember Cheryl from the blessing seminar we did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And wasn't that a beautiful vision of an angel?
Oh, it yes. really is. It just shows she's being watched over. And the first light usually represents the coming of the Holy Spirit.
And hopefully she'll be able to move to a place where the family dynamic is healed, and that I hope that her health will work out, because having a major health issue on top of dealing with family problems is a massive, massive burden for her.
Well, it is, and I'll write her because she needs someone to be her advocate. The family needs her, but if she kills herself through stress, she won't be there to help them. She's got to put herself on a first come, first love basis. And I think that's why the Holy Spirit came to her. I think that's why the angel came to protect her. She needs protection, and she cannot protect others if she herself is not also protected. So,
And she's so busy with family, she hasn't even got time to come on these calls. That's what I'm hearing, you know, dealing with her family stuff.
Yeah. That's
well, you're a wonderful friend.
Nancy, what did you mean by that?
Well, she's a wonderful friend to advocate for her and add her to the blessing today. Thank you, Caroline.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then I want to...
Go ahead.
Sorry. So you'll write to her and give her some
encouragement.
Beautiful. Great. So the second person is it's a very different and more difficult situation. Well, equally difficult situation in totally different ways. It's a friend of mine who has had PTSD and all kinds of depression and mental issues. And I think that his psychologist has just put him on a different medication. That's what we believe, the people that know him. And from being, you know, stable and just quirky and, you know, part of our group, he has become, almost psychotic and paranoid and distrustful of everybody and looking into all these songs for hidden meanings. He's really gone off the deep end. And my view is that he needs to really be able to taper off whatever medication they've given him to go back to normalcy. I mean, it's one of these issues of, I don't know whether it was an SSRI or an antipsychotic, but so often these drugs create much worse situations than if you never took them. I mean, they create homicidal and suicidal feelings in people. And that is exactly what I'm seeing with this gentleman here, my friend Tom. And the problem is that you can't just quit cold turkey because that can make you even worse. You have to taper off slowly. But at this stage, I don't even know what he's on, because he isn't sharing a lot of what's going on with people. He's just coming out with a lot of paranoia and making everybody into his enemy, so to speak. So it's a pretty worrisome situation, especially for another friend of mine whose home he's renting a studio. So it's difficult for them because they don't even feel that safe with him there. So I don't know. He needs blessings. He needs Jeshua's help to go back to stability.
Yes. Yes. This is a similar case to when Yeshua would have just thrown out the demons.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And there's no accusation coming from me concerning the term demonic, but there are things that are not normal to his love. And some of these drugs can cause that. They really do.
Absolutely.
And
alcohol does the same thing. Yeah.
Yes, it does.
They're
quite dangerous.
And they're given out like candy way too much. So that's and creating all kinds
way
of
too much.
Homicidal and suicidal situations that people blame on other things. But I think often it's simply these dangerous pharmaceuticals that they put people on.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a base cause deeper than that, Carolyn and Nancy and all of us. And thank God you're all coming here and you're recultivating your human instincts. We have lost many of our basic human instincts on how to help others, how to care for others. And we have consigned those responsibilities to quote unquote professionals and specialists and drug machinery and therapeutic machinery. In other words, we're signing off on our duty to simply love
mm-hmm.
one another. And then
mm-hmm.
when cases get this bad, it's really dangerous to go in and try to love that person because we will be mistrusted. So we're creating a really, really dangerous situation for many people and many families. But there is an answer, and that answer always is God, the one who created mm-hmm. this person. And my approach to these situations is I pray to God for them, and mm-hmm. I keep my distance from that person because I do not want to run the risk of projecting sympathy into a wrongful state of being for that person.
Mm-hmm.
Only God
mm-hmm.
knows who they really are. Only God has the answer, and he can apply that answer beautifully and heal anything perfectly.
Right.
Well said.
Yeah. Go ahead.
That's so true. That's so true because you need a higher power to, you need something from a higher level to get you out of the muck.
Yes. When it gets to that point, you need intervention from a very, very high level.
Yes.
And We pray for that with our country. We pray for that with our families, our communities. And we pray for the kind of intervention that only our loving Father Creator can provide, because we're at the point of deep density where we could think we're doing the right thing. And it's absolutely, totally the wrong thing, because we don't know what we're doing.
Right.
And
right.
Tom represents a large community of people suffering like this, Carolyn. So thank you for bringing it to our community.
Yeah, I mean, I think we need to heal all of these people who had issues, but then get more damaged by some of these medical interventions and big pharma drugs. Absolutely.
Oh yeah, I think what happens is that people have either neglected themselves, or those who care for them have neglected them too long within the normal parameters of what you do to make your life better. They were just neglected too long. And then the problem increased to the point we had to get a specialist to come in. Well, that specialist just wanted to take the chemical path or the therapeutic path that could fix something without really eradicating the cause or loving the person.
Yeah.
Yeah,
with love. Because if they don't find a label or something they can prescribe, they're kind of out of business. They have to find something. And what I'm seeing also with, you know, kids having normal childhood or teenage angst that they're shunted off to psychologists who have to find a label or a drug to fix them, when really all they needed was, you know, love and attention and being able to talk to their
parent.
Own parents.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Well,
thank you, Carolyn. He will be blessed today for sure. Yes.
Thank you. And thank you also for the love you're sending Cheryl, because she's a beautiful being, and she needs to be appreciated, and she needs to live a happier life.
Amen.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And usually surgery does not have the same negative repercussions that chemical intervention does. So I'm glad that they're just handling it surgically, and may it go no further. I hope that it's
right.
100% success.
And then may she also be a little bit more free of her family, so she can live a life of her own rather than having to minister to all her dysfunctional family members.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Well, thank you for allowing us to help these people.
Thank you. We love you, Caroline.
Love yourself, Caroline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're
Kendra.
Always
Thank
out
you,
there
Nancy.
Caring for people, too. So you take care of yourself.
Amen.
That's true. Love you all. Lots of love.
Love you, too.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
I'm going to open Stephen's line. Glenda, we have Stephen here. Hi, Stephen.
Yeah. Oh,
hello,
everybody. Yeah, I just want to add something that just popped in my mind from what Carolyn was saying about Tom. Yeah, I know a couple of years ago I had a good friend, Janice Gates, I think I shared on this call a while back, who took her life, sadly, leaving behind a husband and daughter. And, you know, she was a real revered and amazing yoga teacher, and traveled the world doing yoga retreats and wrote books and was a coach and all these wonderful things. And yet she suffered from these debilitating, you know, mental chemical instabilities for many, many years. And, you know, and it was actually a concern actually of my ex-wife's a while back, because her daughter and my daughter grew up together. You know, they played together as toddlers and they were our neighbors. And, you know, I just want to say about the chemicals, you know, that they're administering to people with PTSD and other mental imbalances, is that they're so powerful, and they're so You know, I mean, people call them cutting edge and all this sort of stuff, but I think the moment you start playing around with that stuff, you are really asking for huge trouble, because I think that's what Janice actually was known, that that was what Janice was doing. She was obviously on a lot of different types of chemicals over the years, and she was trying to wean herself off of them. She really didn't believe in them, and she wanted to get off of them, obviously. And, you know, she really was a believer in natural health and methods. But, you know, she was doing it by herself and unsupervised. And I think just that instability, I think she probably mentally just yo-yoed. And you know, she was, of course, suffering from a lot of, you know, intermittent depression and psychotic episodes and different crazy ideas of committing suicide. And, of course, finally, that's what happened. And I just, you know, I think, you know, like Glenda shared, it all does boil down to God and love. And I think it's so important for these people who are dealing with these things to have a really strong, close advocate and friend who really is holding their hand through the process of either getting on these drugs or getting off of them, because I really believe strongly you're really playing with fire with this stuff. And that's just based on my limited personal experience with Janice Gates.
Mm-hmm,
and I mean, I'm the first to promote, you know, natural methods. That's kind of what, you know, a lot of my life has been about, you know, and everything from, you know, juice fasting and all kinds of stuff. But, you know, I also know the power of modern technology and science and its benefits as well. And I think it's so important to keep an open mind and just never stop seeking, you know, keep getting different opinions, keep seeking, keep having that faith, you know, probably like Job did, you know, he tried everything and everything. Of course, mm-hmm. finally he gave it up to God. But, you know, I think it's what I think somewhere in the Bible, it says faith without works is dead. And, you know, I think it's a combination, right? You've got to have that faith, but again, you've got to keep going forward and keep finding solutions and keep
yeah.
seeking different opinions and stuff. I just want to put that out there, and that's really all I wanted to share.
Well,
thank you,
that's
Stephen.
Really a good thing, Stephen. I think if I was going to summarize the same thing you're saying, is that we've got to really have a clear mind about the results we're looking for so that we don't get moved astray by experimental chemistry that's uncharted and unknown. We need to know the results we want to achieve, and then consider the price we're willing to pay. I'm not talking about dollars. I'm talking about consequences. So there will be consequences. And are the consequences worth it? Sometimes they are. Sometimes they're not. And when you accept chemical intervention, how proven is it? And how was it proven? There are, you know, the thing is, by the time we all get into living a few years, we've all made a few mistakes. We've all gone a little off center about something. And then we justify it and we go a little more off center. Until we've got a situation that the body doesn't know how to correct. And it is, in many cases, a blessing of chemistry up to a point that it can assist us. But what I have found about the difference between good and bad chemistry is good chemistry sets us free down the road. It doesn't make us a prisoner, and it also does not have consequences that further alter our command of our own life and our body. So that is a price I'm not willing to pay. I don't give up any part of my life to chemistry. I don't allow it to make my decisions for me. I don't allow it to form my definition of what a good day is, or what a good day feels like, or what my values are. So, you know, you have to establish your parameters. How do you form a, just like any kind of partnership, what's in it for me and what price do I have to pay? It's what you would ask if you were taking on a business partner. You know, are there advantages to doing that? And who do I get along with? And what will be the consequences? Well, you're taking on a partnership whenever you put chemistry in your body, because your body was not created with that chemistry. I think that's the bottom line.
Absolutely, yeah. No, it's really about making those conscious decisions, you know, and really,
yeah.
I think fit. I mean, I'm the type of person. It depends on the type of person you are, but of course, I'm the type of person. If it's a big decision, I've always got to sleep on it, and then I've got to sleep on it some more, and then I've got to, you know, check it out with a lot of people, and then I've got. Ultimately, though, the decision's mine. You know, ultimately, I have to come down and finally feel deep, deep in my soul that okay, this is my best option. You know.
Uh-huh. That's right. Okay, well, it was great hearing from you, Stephen. We've got one more caller, and we're past the 4 o'clock mark. So
let me
we're going to open that line. Oh, that's Stormy. Yeah. Okay. Well, Stephen, great to hear from you, and blessings will be given.
And we have Stormy open, Glenda, our final community member on the call. Hi, Stormy.
Yeah. Hi. Yes, Glenda, in my journey, I've been given the world. In Stormy's music, I give you a journey into the next world to come.
Well, that's an awesome gift, Stormy. Thank you so much. You'll like this. I'm still sorting through things I brought here in my move. And I happened to open a box with old tapes, not CDs, tapes going way back. And I came across two of them that said on the label, Stormy's Music.
Yeah.
So I found a very, very old gift from you. Haven't listened to it yet because now I've got to go find my tape player. Because, you know, we don't use those much anymore. But I've got one around here somewhere. I'm going to find it and I'll play it. So thank
you so much.
Well,
maybe you'll find the CD. I said, maybe you'll find the CD, too, that I sent you a long time ago.
Great. I don't think I ever got those.
A very, very long time ago. Who knows where it went.
Yeah.
Just one is all it was. But
well,
anyhow.
At least I've got the tapes. I've got the tapes. That'll be nice.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Stormy.
Not only to get this world, but I get to see the next world to come. So, bless
y'all. We all will. All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Stormy. Okay,
yeah.
Glenda, we are open and ready for our blessings.
Yes, we are ready. But we want to do a little prep work because we want you to be in a graceful, relaxed way of receiving. Because so often, just like with prayer, we pray from the problem. You know, we've got a problem. We need a little more money in the bank. We've got a headache. We need relief. We've got a troubled family member. We need peace. So we pray from the problem, and that actually doesn't create the strongest connection to the one who can solve the problem. You see, the one who can solve the problem is in a realm of perfection. But I just want to go over the first few lines of the Lord's Prayer. Because the apostles had been literally badgering Yeshua for days, if not weeks or years, for a prayer. How do we pray? How do we pray? How do we pray? And finally, he said, okay. Well, he had given them things not to do. Like, you don't go out in the streets and shout your prayer. You don't pray ritual prayers. Like the Pharisees do. That's not prayer. So he would tell them, he over and again, different things not to do, but he was a little reluctant to tell them how to pray because he knew they wanted works. And words are not the same in every prayer because it's so important that your prayer reflect an authentic, live, in the now connection with your holy creator, your father. Okay, be there in that connection, for in that connection, that is the prayer. But we as humans, we need words, we need to focus it. But let's just examine how he started his, what we call the Lord's Prayer. Okay, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Okay, it begins with respect, with honor, with glory to God. Because we're asking to walk into holy ground and be with our Father, our Creator. We're asking to be there. So, a good prayer is not going to be opening words about you or your problem. Would you walk into the palace of an earthly king without bowing or kneeling or at least recognizing the respectful imminence of that person? Well, how much more would it be walking in to the palatial presence of the sublime almighty creator? Okay, so we open our prayers with respect, with honor. And then is the first thing we're going to cast at him again, I mean, the second thing, our problem? No. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. On earth as it is in heaven. In other words, you pray for his will to be done. That's your statement of faith. That means you're relaxing even more. See, you're coming into the presence of greatness. And the next thing you do is you're going to cancel the very thing that would separate you from God, which would be your sins. You feel a little unworthy. Actually, your unworthiness is why you would throw at him first your problem, because you think having a problem justifies your being there no matter what. So you throw your problem at him. No, that's not what you do. The next thing is you ask forgiveness for anything that would have separated you from him. Okay. Are you still ready to ask about your problem? Well, not quite. You're going to ask for the things that you know were entitled to you. Give us this day our daily bread. And protect us from evil. Okay. We were given the substance of life. It was entitled to us to be free from evil and our daily survival be ensured. And so by the time you've gotten to that point, is that trouble you had really all that big? Well, it may be all that big for others you're praying for, but you're in a place where you can surrender your angst and worry and suffering on their behalf, that you're so afraid that they will succumb to bad influences, hardships, or something really mighty and terrible against them. You can let go. You have prepared yourself to be in a place of asking. The same is true with blessings. This is why we combine meditation with prayer. This is why I'm going to ask you now to just limber up your body. And there's no set way of doing it. Just get the flow moving. You've been probably sitting for anywhere from a few minutes to an hour. And your lymphatic has not been moving because it requires movement to move. And even your heart's not going to be pumping at a very high rate because you're just sitting still. And your bones are kind of creaky and there's not much lubricant in your joints because you haven't been pumping that either. So let's get it moving. And I recommend you just start with one part of your body and move down or move up. You can extend your legs a little bit and be sure and cause a stretch, okay? Because that stretch actually opens up your joints and it opens up your muscles as well. And then create little windmills or other movements that you like up and down, okay? Get some, feel some what I call good pain, the kind you feel when you stretch in the morning and it hurts a little bit. Oh, it feels so good. The kind you feel when you scratch your back and maybe you scratch a little too hard, but it feels so good. You've got to get things moving. And sometimes initially it stretches a little much and you go, oh, ow. But the more you stretch, the more it feels great. That's what I'm talking about. And I'm not going to guide you through it because I want you to do it your way. Okay? I just want you to, if you're bedridden, then be in bed and it's okay. But there's something you can stretch. There's something you can move and it's important that you do. If only roll over and then roll back over to the other side or get someone to help you sit up. Move. Right? Because movement is life. And life itself is the ultimate blessing. It was the blessing you were given the moment you were conceived. And then more as you grew, as a fetus, into becoming an infant ready to be born, and more life was given to you. And then as you grew through childhood, more and more life was given to you. It's the giving of life that is truly the blessing. So be there, honoring your life. And now, let's take a very deep breath. If you can stand or sit up, do so, please. And get your ribs to expand and your diaphragm to lower. Breathe also in. Do your in-breath through your nose so that it will go up through your sinuses. That is so important to wake up your brain. You got to get blood moving up through your cervical area, up through the base of your skull and into your brain. Got to get that moving. Because we want you to be free of worry and fed with life, okay? And, okay, take a deep breath in and blow it out. And again, another deep breath and blow it out. And now I'm going to talk you through our four square breath, which we brought into our blessing call. I don't know exactly when, probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 2 years ago. It was something I learned from a special meditation practitioner. And he was talking about the power between the breaths. And the importance of being mindful about our breath, because our breath is life. It's the first thing you did when you were born. It's the last thing you will do on this earth. Being mindful of your breath is the same as being mindful of your life. And if you notice, at times when you get worried, tense, or anxious, you find yourself actually holding your breath. It's like you haven't breathed in 2 or 3 seconds. And then you remember to breathe, and it's like you're gasping because you got behind on your oxygen intake or your carbon dioxide expelling. Okay, so on being mindful, you could start either way, but just so that we're all consistent on the same page, I'm going to ask you to just take a normal breath, not a big, huge, overwhelming breath. It's not a blowhole. Okay. A normal breath, but notice that you're going to exhale now and you're giving something into life. There will be others who breathe what you expelled. Now, it may be a plant, might be your pet, or it might just drift around in the atmosphere. But it will be breathed in somewhere by something or someone. You just made a gift into life. Now pause to celebrate the fact that you just gave a gift. Now, 1 second, about as long as you can comfortably pause, but that's okay. And you can build it up to maybe 2 seconds as you get used to it. But don't force it. Just whatever's comfortable. But be mindful that you're not going to take in a breath until it's been given to you. Now take in a breath and take it in deeply, but not fiercely, just a normal breath, but breathe deeply. Notice it going to all parts of your body and relieving the tension, and pause that it may find every part of your body, including your little toe or the scalp on your head, every part of your body. Okay. And you are now replenished with the volume of carbon dioxide and other gases that you've got prepared to release. And be mindful of that. You're now giving again. And then pause. Because we don't want to take back the same gift we just gave. You want to give it time to drift away from your body. And now be prepared to take a whole new, fresh breath. Bring it in. Be grateful and pause while it's distributed throughout your whole body. And give again. And this goes on forever and ever in your life. It goes on whether you think about it or not. But when you think about it, when you're mindful, when you manage it, it becomes a special moment in time that can calm your nerves, regulate your heart, regulate your arterial flow, give better function to the organs of your body. And let every organ in your body know a paycheck is coming. How much better do you feel on payday? Well, so do all the organs of your body, except they're paid moment by moment. But they wait for it, and they need it. Let them have it. Let them enjoy it. And then be prepared to give again, that others may enjoy the breath you've given. This is actually, my friends, the rhythm of blessing. As you give, you will receive. And the greatest gratitude you can give for receiving is to then give back. That's how you show your gratitude. And this is a very special form of love, the giving and receiving of life. We don't always realize it, but the fact is, somebody smiles at you. They made you feel good. You took in a breath. This has been studied by monitors taped to the body of people. People almost always inhale when someone smiles at them. I'm talking about 99% of the time. You inhale when someone smiles. You hear someone laugh, you almost always exhale. It's your way of reflecting to the giving out of others that you then give out yourself. We do this instinctively and spontaneously. So as we get prepared for a blessing, to receive the ultimate blessings from God, let us be in that mindful breath of life, because it's all about life. And yes, there is life outside and beyond our body. It's a different frequency. It's one that does not perish and never ends. But it is life. And it also has the need to be recognized. I think it's good, actually, and I don't think there's anything strange about it. Sometimes I will say good morning to my mom. I don't know where she is. She's somewhere on high ground, probably minding a garden. And I like to see her there spreading the seeds. Okay, she's probably doing that. But anyway, she always hears me. I say, hey, Mom, good morning. Oh, hi. Now, you be a good girl. Okay. She's never stopped that. See, there's life. It goes on and on, my friends. So we're in a very special form of life, which needs a body. And so we use our body as a receiving depot. And this is why we get our breath in flow. We get our body all nice and limbered up. And then after we've had a big download of receiving, we go and we lie down. See, that's the last part of receiving the blessing. I want you to go to your sofa, your bed, or the ground, or a yoga mat, anything. Not your reclining chair. I want you horizontal, wherever that might work for you. Horizontal. Because every part of your body is equal. And we want the blessings flowing into every part of your body with no stress, no strain, just you being you. You receiving from God. That's it. Okay. Now, let's be ready for Yeshua, our brother, Son of God. Lord of life, we are here to be with you. And we ask with all our hearts that you be with us. We ask that you would hear our prayer, that you would grace us with your presence, your love, your healing, your help, your wisdom, and your influence in life. And help us to follow the ways that you have taught us all, that we may become masters of life and live the best life we can on this earth until we are ready to transition into a higher life in greater space. Please hear our prayer. We know you're listening. We know you care. And we ask only that we may surrender to your grace, your wisdom, and your love. I ask on behalf of everyone who wrote to me and shared their needs with me. You know now what they are. And I ask on behalf of those who don't know they can pray. They're still blind to the miracles and the grace that awaits them. May they awaken to the joy of being blessed and know that this came from a special place they need to look for again and again. We ask that you be with the children all over the world, that you comfort those who have lost a loved one, that you bring peace to places of conflict and help those who are trapped in conflict to find peace within themselves, that they may build out from that peace into a greater peace of living. And thank you forever that you brought back the presence of God into our midst, that we may walk into the blessing of our Lord with you and with each other in the spirit of love. Amen. Blessing givers, will you stand now and join me? Let us begin.
Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessings have been given. Now it's time for you to rest and receive. Finish receiving. So go lie down on your bed, on the mat, on the sofa, or on the green grass, whatever pleases you, as long as you're horizontal, and just rest. Don't think. Do not even continue your prayer, because words will bring your brain into action. You want it to be in neutral for a while. Okay. I send my blessings to you as well and wish you a very, very happy week. Bye-bye for now. Look forward to being with you again next Sunday.